Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Talk with Brian and Phil. This is Brian.
Hello.
This is the first time we're doing this via Skype. I'm up here in Pennsylvania right now while Phil's back home in Farmingdale, New York. This is kind of a test run. We'll see how this works. It might not at all, and we'll see what happens.
Might not work at all.
Exactly. All right, so let's start it up. Let's talk about some of the comics we read the last week or so. Do you want to start with yours?
Yes, Age of Ultron came out today, number three, written by Bendis, art by Brian Hitch. And let me tell you, one and two, one was good, two was exactly like one, so I was a little disappointed by that. The only difference was that Black Widow, her face was all messed up, which was kind of cool. I was like, okay, hopefully that stays. I'd like to see, like things happen
Right.
and keep going into the universe, transcend into the regular universe. Anyways, get right into it. Pretty much the team is trying to decide what they're going to do. So you have Thor, Hulk, the Green Hulk, Cyclops, all gone. Right now you just have Wolverine, Emma Frost, Iron Man, Hawkeye, Spider-Man, Captain America, and a few other people. But the rest of the heroes are separated. So you have, which is kind of cool, you have Red Hulk, you have Taskmaster, and you have Black Panther, three groups that have never been together. In Chicago, and they're like fighting Ultron. I want to get right into the ending, the final page. Spoiler alert. I read this before. Got you,
Skip
Brian. I just told.
skip 25 seconds ahead if you don't want to be spoiled.
Looks like Vision is either working for Ultron or has been taken over by Ultron. My guess is that
Well,
I don't think
tell them
Vision would be
what tell
bad.
them what Vision said, like the last.
Well, Vision said, Luke Cage, what do you have to offer? And he wasn't looking like upset. He was kind of looking evil. But my thing is that Vision has been dead for 8 years. And he
Right.
just brought him back last year.
He's
Why
finally
would you
back.
either make him a villain or kill him again?
Yeah, why would they just bring him back to kill him? That would be shitty.
So my theory is that Ultron either took him over or that he's kind of like forced to work for Ultron. Like there's no way. Like Ultron's in his cyberkinetic
Right.
wiring. So
The
that's what I read. It was pretty good. I'm definitely gonna read the
next one comes out next
next.
week, right? They're trying to do it like
Yeah, I
fast.
think the next issue. I think it's next week.
I think so too.
I think it's like two issues. Then like they have it's bi-weekly. It might be bi-weekly.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so the next one that I read from last week, which I was really impressed with, which you read also, was Five Ghosts, the Haunting of Fabian Gray. It's by Frank Barbieri and who's the artist? Chris Mooneyham. And I discovered this today that this was actually a Kickstarter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That they were trying to get $2,000, I think, and they got over three. And Frank Barbieri is from Brooklyn, so represent, you know.
Beautiful.
I really liked it. I think it has a lot of potential. And when I saw on the cover that it's one of five, I think, I was pretty
Yeah, there's
disappointed.
five.
But I mean, if it's popular enough, this will go on. I mean, that's what happens. If it's good enough, people want more, there'll be more. Like Luther Strode too, another like completely brand new, like they had never done anything before, and then obviously that got picked up to keep going.
Yeah, they're on series two for that.
Yeah, the legend now, right? And I thought it was kind of like it was Rex Mundy and Indiana Jones meets Hellboy, and the Hellboy thing came in for me because that villain that was looked just like Rasputin, right?
Is he like a have you ever is he from like a story at all, the villain?
I don't know. I don't know if that's like supposed to be a historical person or anything.
No, he looked like Rasputin. I was like, oh,
He
Rasputin's
looked
like
like the Hellboy Rasputin. He didn't look like real Rasputin, like with the beard, you know, the Mad Monk style. So it's probably not, but I thought it was really cool and it was kind of a unique idea. Basically, this treasure hunter is haunted by five ghosts. Like, there's a samurai, a vampire. There are three other ones I forget off the top of my head.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, the wizard, the archer, the detective,
Yeah, there you go.
samurai, and the vampire.
Right. And basically he's a treasure hunter, so like he's Indiana Jones having a good time, but he's being haunted by these ghosts and he also has their abilities sort of, and he's investigating his own past, I guess. Like, his sister is messed up, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with her. Yeah, and I thought it was a really cool. It was really well written. I really, really enjoyed it, and I really want more. I like that one a lot.
Pacing was well done. I like
Yeah,
that
the
a lot.
pacing was perfect.
Yeah,
I
it
liked
wasn't
it.
too fast of a read at all.
No, it did what I wanted it to do. It left me wanting more, and that's all I can ask for.
And the art, I think, fit the time era
Oh,
perfectly.
perfect.
This is
Perfect.
based, what, World War II?
They were Nazis, so.
Yeah, so I thought the
Yeah.
art fit really well.
Yeah, that was good. It really fit the story. So the next one, also a last week comic, was Saga, which obviously both of us are huge fans of. Anything Brian K. Vaughan does, I'm gonna read. And this was a good issue, but you felt
A little too fast.
a little too rushed. See, it's funny because my first instinct when I picked it up, I was like, "Oh, this feels like a thick issue." Like, it just felt that way to me. Like, just funnily enough,
I mean, the sex scene at the beginning was pretty graphic.
that was absolutely filthy. Not a lot makes me blush, but I was reading that and I was like, "Oh my word."
Yeah, oh my God, what line was it? Something like,
I can't even say it. I know the line, but Marco says that Alana said during sex, "I want you to finish inside of my hot cunt," or something like that. Something, twat. Yeah, just absolutely a filthy line. And it actually absolutely made me blush, and nothing does that in comics. So it's good to see that Brian K. Vaughan still surprises you.
I think there's some actually really major developments in this issue too, besides the
Yeah.
sex scene.
Yeah.
Marco's
But it was.
padre, who only lasted what? How many issues? What issue are we on now? 11?
Yeah, I think he was in
Eight?
6 or 7.
Oh, he came in that early?
Wasn't
Far.
he? Was he like the first issue of the new story arc?
Yeah, it's like the end. I'm not exactly sure. They just show up at like the final page.
So he's
But
been in what, 4, I'd say, at least.
anyways. Bar, rest in peace.
Yeah, he was. I liked him a lot. I mean, we knew he had a death sentence. He
I
said.
thought I didn't see it coming that quickly. I thought we'd get to know him.
I kind of
Well,
saw
no.
it coming. Like, I knew he's gonna have to, like, sacrifice himself for the group or whatever.
Well, that I agree on, but I thought they were gonna maybe explore his relationship with Marco a little bit. Instead, they did the mother
Yeah.
and Marco, and then they did
Who I didn't
Bar.
really care for. I liked Barr a lot more.
Yeah, mother's mean.
Yeah.
For those who haven't read Saga yet, spoiler, another spoiler.
It's
Lion
too late
King.
now.
Lion Cat, he's alive!
Yeah. I mean, I wish that extended a little further because at the end of the last issue, we were like, "Oh shit, Lion Cat's dead." Like, he just drifted off into space. There's no way you're getting him back. And then it was like 4 pages in that he's already back. And I thought that could have been, we could have been, holding on to that for a little longer because the whole Will and Gwendolyn scene, there was only a couple things. That could have waited for an issue or two while we still thought Lion Cat was dead. That would have been cool.
You think Gwendolyn was the kidnapped the baby?
I think she's kind of evil, and I think that she really just wants to get that Marco or whatever at any cost, so I think she's
Well,
willing
don't
to do
mess
some
with
shit.
right? Woman scorn.
Yeah.
But for those who don't know,
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Gwendolyn is the
Marco's
fiance, the former
ex.
fiance,
Yeah.
ex-fiance of Marco, and I
Yeah.
believe he used her rings to get married to Alana.
To Alana, yeah. All right, so next comic, our last one, I believe. Batman Incorporated.
Yes, Batman Incorporated. Okay.
It was good. I mean, I like anytime somebody dies. I like when there are stakes. I like when you write people off, and Grant Morrison's always been good at that. But 9 was better, right?
Oh, well, yeah, my problem with 8 was Damian's death. It was heroic.
Yeah, but it was
It was
rushed.
too quick.
Yeah.
And there was no like sense of like he had his little moment with Nightwing, which I think that's what Grant Morrison really wanted to focus on, because that's Nightwing when he was Batman
Right, right.
made more of a human.
Yeah.
He was a clone. He had no emotion. Anyways, so in Batman Incorporated, Damian's dead. We get the reaction of Bruce and Nightwing, and the best thing was Bruce pretty much told Alfred to leave.
Yeah, kicked
He
him
didn't
out.
fire him, but he did say.
Pretty much go on vacation, like.
He pretty much said, "You're the reason he's dead."
Yeah, you shouldn't have
And
let him out. It's like Santa goddamn hell's Carl, Walking Dead.
But now Carl's useful. But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Later. But one quick thing, which I think Batman Incorporated, as it's the issues are coming out, it might, in my opinion, might be a little better than Batman, because there's definitely consequences that are trending into the other books, like Damian's death.
Right. Is how long is Grant Morrison doing Batman Incorporated for?
Oh, only until issue 12.
Okay.
And I believe the artist, there's a rumor that Chris Birmingham, the artist, might be writing it.
Oh, really? I trust things for as long as Grant Morrison's doing them, so.
yeah, he's staying until issue 12, but there's rumors possibly 13, but not sure. But anyway,
so his time is coming.
One quick thing was, what was I going to say? Oh, Batman's now an outlaw in Gotham.
Right.
Because Talia, she's pretty much taking over Gotham, and she's like, okay, I won't destroy Gotham if you make Batman an outlaw. So it's just kind of really
Which is
awesome.
Something we always like to see. I mean,
I like Batman being dark and not
on the
being
run,
forced.
Yeah. Not
I
just like
him being friendly.
The town's hero and everyone likes him. And
no, I want him to be dark.
I agree. I'm with
you. I miss that. That's one thing that I think DC has to go back to.
It's something the movies did very well, obviously.
And I think that Scott Snyder kind of, like, I guess started that maybe a little bit, because at the end of Death of the Family,
right,
the sidekicks, you know, they felt betrayed a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right.
That's good seeing the repercussions.
Yes.
Well, now we're going to move into the Marvel Now Phase 2, whatever the hell they're calling it, I don't know.
Yes.
You sent me an article from Newsarama, Wave 2 possibilities. And I mean, I only really want to talk about two of them, but I don't know how much you want to say about them.
Well, tell me who you want to talk about.
The number 10 one and the number 1-1.
Okay.
The first one, the number 10 one, was Doctor Strange,
yeah,
who is oddly absent. Like, he was like an afterthought in Avengers vs. X-Men and stuff, and I always thought he was a cool character. Kind of very Vertigo, DC Vertigo style, like magic and darkness and Constantine almost. So I always support anything that happens with Doctor Strange, and I'm excited for the movie that they have been talking about for long enough now.
Rumors are that he's in Thor 2, right?
I heard like after the credits maybe, which would
so
be fucking awesome.
My guess would be when Thor 2 comes out, I'm guessing that'll be third Wave 3 of Marvel Now?
Well, Wave 3 starts with Iron Man 3. Oh, no, that's Wave 2.
Yeah, it's Wave 2.
Thor 2 is still in Wave 2.
No, I'm saying Wave 3 of Marvel Now.
I see. Oh, so that'll be later. Yeah.
So my thing is that if Doctor Strange is in that movie, expect to see a huge ongoing, expect to see Bendis, Hickman, Jason Aaron, someone big. To write him.
See, I wish that they don't do that. They don't coincide what's popular in the movies with what actually they are now, like Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. But I'd like to see them do that more. Yeah.
But I mean, Viggo Mortensen, right?
Yeah, that was I think he's probably too big. I heard Adrian Brody also, who's also probably too big. But I
don't like Brody.
I always like Brody. He's not doing good enough stuff right now.
He gets a lot of commercials. A lot.
Yeah, for like Gillette. But he's a genuinely excellent actor. The Pianist is one of the best acted films. So I'd like to see him do something, you know, where he's gonna get paid, because he's been doing some kind of shitty stuff lately.
Now number one is Ant-Man.
Yeah, who is always one of my favorite characters.
The first Ant-Man, by the way, everyone. First Ant-Man.
Henry Pym.
So right now what's going on in Marvel Universe is Age of Ultron. Ultron, Hank created him.
Right.
But Hank's nowhere to be found.
So he should be making an appearance, right?
Well, the cover for, I believe, for Age of Ultron, the final issue, is Hank, I guess, being inside a Ultron robot. And
really?
Ultron robot face exploding. But I think Ultron took over Hank.
Huh.
And he's using all his knowledge to pretty much take over the world.
So how would they do, like, a new issue one? Would they connect it in with that, or would they just do a reboot? Because I always like when they do new origin stories. I'm always okay with that.
Now,
and that was something Marvel, you know, now didn't really do. It was kind of like just continuation stories instead of what New 52 did.
Well, those are the rumors right now. Are they going to reboot Marvel again, like they did with DC? But it wouldn't make sense because of the Marvel Now thing.
Well, maybe they're seeing that as kind of a failure. I mean, it's nowhere near as successful as 52, right?
I don't know what they could – that could do another year one for him.
Why wouldn't they do a new – I mean, like, remember we saw that – I don't – what is that? I don't know. It might be. I'll just close all of my stuff. Yeah, that was the Wolverine trailer. Wolverine trailer. You got a little tidbit of the Wolverine trailer. Only here. That's not true.
Oh, we could have done commentary then and there for that trailer.
Oh, I know how you feel about commentary. No, but remember we saw, like, in one of the it was actually online. It was, like, you know, teasing a reboot of, like, new 52 Marvel titles.
Yeah.
Did we get an announcement on that or anything yet?
Not that. Oh, yeah. That was the, actually, I don't know what that was, actually.
There was an announcement, though?
Yeah, so that was just the 700 titles.
Yeah, so it's not like a complete reboot or anything.
No, I'm not.
They're not doing that. I don't know. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see, you know, a complete game changer like that. New 52, whether you like it or not, it was a game changer. And I think they did a pretty decent job. Out of the 52 titles, I liked, I don't know, maybe 12 of them. But, you know, that's not bad.
They made a mistake by not making it more for new readers just to jump in.
What, the Marvel Now?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I've been behind on Marvel for a long time, so this would have been perfect for me, and it just wasn't. They didn't do it.
I don't think they did the reboot after the Avengers vs. X-Men, because a lot of fans would have been like, oh, cop out. Of course, you're just going to restart the universe.
I don't know. If that's true, I would have been okay with it. I don't know about everyone else. They would have bought it anyway, you know? Nobody's going to boycott. I'm sorry, you're going to give it a try. That's
true.
That's one thing about comic nerds. They're gonna try them. They're not going to boycott shit.
We're the best at doing that.
Yeah. All right, so let's move right into we finally got a pretty decent Wolverine trailer.
It was okay. I saw the 6-second trailer first. That was on MTV.
Yeah.
And that was really good. I mean,
was that the one that Hugh Jackman introduced? That was the 6-second one?
The 6-second one. You saw Jean Grey in the 6-second one. It was just a bunch of scenes, really quickly.
Yeah.
But Jean Grey, which is probably dead Jean Grey.
It was a flashback style, I think.
The other one was a 20-second one. It was just him in like a suit fighting against the Japanese mafia.
Right.
And then
the actual trailer, the international trailer.
The international trailer, we find out that if anyone saw like a few like pictures of the trailers a few months ago, it was with Wolverine when he had his wood claws.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh god, maybe this is like a after Origins before the new movies. But
nope.
No, it's a quick flashback.
Nope.
Wolverine saved someone.
Yeah.
And this person wants to, I guess, thank Wolverine. Huh. They want to live forever. One of the two.
Would have been a cool way to get rid of X-Men Origins and do a new origin.
Yeah.
Because the X-Men Origin movie, despite how awful that movie was, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good. And Last Stand wasn't good either.
No.
But none of those things are Hugh Jackman's fault, and Hugh Jackman is consistently wonderful as Wolverine.
Well, did you hear what happened to Bryan Singer recently?
What?
Someone got X-Men Last Stand. Like before he started writing this movie,
right.
Someone pulled him aside and says, "You need to." This guy was upset. Like he was a buddy of Singer. He was like, "You ruined my characters for me, like my childhood."
You need to address this.
He sat him down and he goes, "Okay, I know what I need to do now." So
he's addressing those problems.
Yeah.
Well,
my only problem is I want to see Banshee and Havoc.
See, like, well, they're not even announced in. First Class, Days of Future Past, so...
Yeah.
There's too many characters in that movie anyway. I'm almost happy they're not doing them, because, like, how would you do Havoc with Scott now? Is Scott in it?
Nope.
Scott's not in it, okay. But, like, how are they connecting it to that universe if Scott's not there? I don't know. That boggles the mind. But, I always like the Chris Claremont Wolverine in Japan story.
Well, what they're doing, right? With
yeah,
Silver
that's
Surfer.
what's going on now. Yeah, exactly. And
Noriko from the animated series, the chick with like the six arms.
I don't know. I don't know. But I also like the Brian K. Vaughan Logan in Japan one, who, you know, nobody else seems to like but me.
I never read it.
It was good. I mean, I'll read anything Brian K. Vaughan, so if I didn't know it was him, I don't know how much I would have liked it, but knowing it was him, I loved it. It was short, it was brief, it just showed, like, Logan in love, essentially, in Japan, and, you know, it was good, but it has nothing to do with the movie, but the Chris Claremont Wolverine in Japan stuff is where they're getting this from, and Chris Claremont is brilliant, so...
Oh, actually, this movie, in the trailer, it looks like Wolverine loses his healing factor. Kind of cool.
Well, when he gets shot?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what the fuck?
Well, I think
this doesn't feel good.
One of the other villains is named Viper. She's got green hair. She wears a green suit.
I don't even recognize a single name in the cast. Like.
Oh, no, there's no one.
Yeah.
Wait, character-wise, no, just Green Viper.
Yeah.
Noriko.
Right.
And Silver Samurai.
Right. Who I think we see in the trailer, right?
We see the back of him.
Yeah. I mean, he was badass, so.
All right. The next one. What are we talking about the next one?
Well, next we can go right into The Walking Dead, which the finale is coming up in a couple days.
Who's going to die?
Yeah, you know somebody will, right?
I'd say two, at least two.
So who are your predictions for who's going to die?
I'm going to say Beth.
Right. Oh, and you think Herschel, too.
Yep. Yep.
See, I disagree with that only because, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think a lot of TV shows do this where they do something terrible to a character, and then he's kind of safe for a while, and they just chopped off Herschel's leg. So I think he's safe for a while, but it would make sense to get rid of him because if they need to leave the prison, they can't have him, you know? He'll be holding them back. So Herschel makes the most sense, but I think he's safe. And Beth, nobody even knows who Beth is.
Like, I only found out this week.
The only reason I know who Beth is because on, you know how in between, I don't know if you noticed, on The Walking Dead they do like a character's like favorite moments from the show, and it's like on the screen for like a second, and then it's gone. And one of them was Beth's playlist, and her favorite song was a song by Frightened Rabbit, who's my favorite band ever. So, like, that's the only reason I'm like, don't get rid of Beth. She likes Frightened Rabbit.
I had two comments about the next week. One, do you think Daryl will be kind of darker since he lost his brother?
I mean, he's pretty dark as is. And it was good to see. I do want to talk about this briefly. I liked seeing Merle go out on a high note, even though nobody got to experience it. Nobody knows that Merle did something good at all.
Michonne does.
Does she? No. He just, like, said, you should get out of the car now. I got something to do. She doesn't know. Nobody knows that he went there and tried to kill the governor and tried to, you know, take out as much as he possibly could while knowing he's going to die himself.
He like,
a, nobody knows he tried to redeem himself. What?
Did the governor eat his finger?
Yeah, he bit off two fingers. No, he spit him out, I think. It would be weird if he just chomped down on it and just went at it and continued.
When they captured Merle's eyes, freakiest thing ever. That's like when you knew he was gone.
Well, it was kind of like they were talking about on The Talking Dead. It was kind of like it was making you see what Daryl's seeing. Like he's connecting with them pretty much for the last time. But I think it was like a real measure of self-sacrifice that he did that, knowing no one would even know what he's going to do. Know that he tried to save them, or not even save them, or try to redeem himself, you know?
Keep on Walking Dead, but getting away from Daryl for a second. I know only me and my buddy Louie have this theory, and everyone else thinks I'm stupid. Is Lori dead?
Alright, here's my theory. I mean, I think Lori's going to be back in this episode, and I don't think that one fat zombie could have eaten Lori, bones and all. Despite the recent badassness of Carl, I don't think he could have shot his own mom. So I think she'll be back. And I've always been, you know, no body, no death. But I believe nobody but an undeath. So I think we'll see her back as a zombie,
Yeah.
as a walker, and Rick has to kind of deal with it, and we have to, like, watch Rick, like, struggle, like, oh, God, Lori, oh, what am I going to do?
Oh, he's on the side, though. Don't forget, he's on the side.
And he, like, cocks to the side. Nobody can see what we're doing, but, you know, how he never faces somebody. He's always, like, shoulder to their face, and he's like, we spilled blood, you know?
You know, that line just reminded me that I want to say this. When they were outside the prison last week, and he was talking about them, about having to go into war, and how he made the wrong decision to send Michonne off.
Right.
We are the Walking Dead. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. Did you not read that?
Yeah, but it's coming. You know,
no,
I have to say
it,
right?
That was
a good time for it.
I thought that was a perfect scene.
That was a good time for it. I mean, I have so many problems with the show. I really do like it. I like it a lot. I'm going to watch
it. I hated last season.
I know. I'm going to watch it until the day it's over. I'm going to watch every single episode. But every single episode, I'm like, well, fuck that. That shouldn't have happened. Why is he doing that? And also, it's like, I read something. It was an internet meme. And it was like just a picture of Rick holding a gun. He's, you know, he's cocked to the side, like, ready to go. And he says, we're going to war, but not for another 4 episodes. Like, it's just like we're going to wait around for a while again. And, like, there's too much waiting around.
The Andrea episode was kind of perfect.
I actually did like that one, yeah.
She, as the creator of Spawn said, she was, like, the adult. You know, say, hey, let's work together. And she wasn't sleeping around with anyone.
Yeah, well, she was, but...
I mean, not in that episode.
Right. Alright, so moving past Walking Dead, which I think we've always discussed, and we'll discuss one more time next week before the break. Let's go into some Captain America casting, rumors/truths, I suppose.
We'll go into the first one, Robert Redford.
Robert Redford is one of the best actors ever. The Sting is my favorite movie ever made. I love that movie. I love Robert Redford. Who did you want to see him playing? You had a funny little...
Oh, I said, like, you'd have been the perfect Nick Fury.
That would have been perfect. Completely...
Old man Nick Fury.
That would have been very interesting. But, obviously, not going to happen. But, yeah, I heard that he's going to be some sort of a military hierarchy, you know? He's going to be...
Actually, you think he could play Russian?
That would be cool.
Maybe something with Winter Soldier, since it is based on Winter Soldier.
How much of that are they doing, though? Like, is Bucky, like, a main character?
Oh, yeah. He's assassinates people. He's under, like, the Soviet Union control.
Like, I read the synopsis is, it's a political thriller. Like, it's not really a superhero movie. It's a political thriller.
Oh, that's
which
cool.
Is cool, yeah.
I hated the first one, so I hope I like the second one.
I liked the first one. It wasn't great. It was fine.
So, Kitty. That's what I didn't like about it. Disney ruined it for me.
It's, well, Disney's the best thing that ever happened to the world, and I stand by that, but it was a little, like, there was nothing dark about it, no. And Red Skull was good. He was good.
Yeah, he was the only good part about it.
Hugo Weaving's always good. He's the most successful actor ever. Think about it. He was The Matrix, V for Vendetta.
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime and Transformers, Captain America, did I say The Matrix?
No. Matrix.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't Lord of the Rings.
Like, his movies have grossed, like, $9 billion in the last 10 years, so he's doing all right. The second casting choice was George St. Pierre from MMA fame.
And I'm not a UFC guy, but if you guys are UFC fans out there, you now know that his career, he had a year, and he's probably done. Once
Does
you
he
go,
still fight? How old is he?
He fought, like, a few months ago.
Did he?
Oh, no, not a few months ago. I said, like, 2 weeks ago. One.
Really?
First time in, like, a year. He tore his ACL, I think, or something like that.
Well, that's when he's acting,
but, like,
now.
But, like, once Chuck Liddell and Rampage, and I don't know if there's anyone else. But once they went into movies and TV shows, they just got lazy. They lost fights. His career was done.
I think his career was winding down anyway.
Yeah.
His time as a champion is over, I suppose.
But I know nothing about UFC, but I do know, like, that one thing. That was it.
So who's the character he's playing, by the way?
Oh, I just had a picture of him. Crappy looking. So.
Balrog the Leaper?
Yeah, he's got orange and purple. That's his, like, uniform.
And he sounds like a pretty shitty main villain, so I hope that's not the main villain.
I will tell you really quickly what he is. He's French.
Well, that makes sense. I think he's Quebecois. I think he's French Canadian.
He's a mercenary.
Interesting.
And he's worked with like a bunch of, Masters of Evil,
Right,
Thunderbolts. That's
right.
about it. That's all I can really tell you.
So he shouldn't be the main villain, and especially because it's George St. Pierre, like who has very little acting experience.
Fun fact,
Oh, another one,
becomes a villain.
Randy Couture. He was in Scorpion King 2. That's another MMA guy who stepped. What's your fun fact?
Fun fact, this guy during the JLA Avengers crossover, he got beat up by Batman.
Interesting.
Just for a fun fact.
Not so
And,
fun.
oh, thanks, Brian. I worked really hard on finding that.
I have a problem. Why are so many former fighters and unproven actors being cast in Marvel movies?
Who else?
Guardians of the Galaxy, Dave
Oh, Batista.
Bautista.
And did the Rock want to be in something?
Well, The Rock wants to be in Star Wars.
And Lobo, it's supposed to be Lobo. That's never mind. That's
That's not happening anymore, I heard.
I don't know why they're doing it. I guess these guys, maybe they have potential.
I don't know, they're just big dumb idiots, and they play characters that are big dumb idiots. I don't know.
Is Drax an idiot? I think he's just a warrior. You have
Yeah, he's kind of
to, I
like,
got
I
that
mean, it
too.
kind of works, I guess, but I don't know how good of an actor Dave Bautista is. But GSP, I don't know.
I've
I
never heard
certainly
he.
wouldn't cast him as, yeah, me neither. I certainly wouldn't cast him as a main villain, that's for sure.
I think it's gonna be pretty much Winter Soldier just walking around shooting people.
Well, I hope there's more to it than that.
Well, at the end of the Winter Soldier, like the overall story, Cap died, and
Right.
Bucky took over.
Well, we know that's not going to happen.
That would be cool if it happened
Is
like
this taking
there.
place during the Cold War?
Wait, what?
Is this taking place during the Cold War?
No. What? Well, I mean, they'll probably show Bucky waking up from his like chamber,
So
killing during the Cold
Winter
War.
Soldier is modern day.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Okay.
But they did wake him up from like World War II to modern day. So he did participate in the I almost said Civil War. He did participate in the Cold War, killing a bunch of people.
But the movie is going to be modern day. Interesting. Okay. That gives it a different element that I didn't really see. I saw it
Well,
as, as the comic that's out right now, I saw it as like Cold War, him assassinating secret agent style.
you think, but like, how would it work with Captain America since he was like underwater?
It wouldn't at all.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was confused.
Yeah, that's how they're gonna do it. And then they might bring back the Cosmic Cube because in the comic book, that's what gave
That's
back
kind of
Bucky's memory.
important. Yeah, they kind of like gloss over that right now, so it needs to be addressed again. All right, so the next thing, oh, you have
Oh no,
something?
I was gonna say they're not bringing back Red Skull. He doesn't want to be part of it.
Yeah, I heard that. Hugo Weaving's kind of a, I guess, a diva. He didn't want to be part of Transformers either.
He's never watched any of them. No, he's never seen any of
He
them.
said he's never seen any of them. It was just a paycheck. Which, you know what, makes me respect him that much more, because I've never seen him. I mean, I've seen the first one, and I never want to see another one again, so I respect his decision. So let's go into some sort of sad news. Today, or yesterday, actually, Don Payne died, who wrote Thor. He wrote Thor: The Dark World, the new one, and he's also a writer for The Simpsons, as well as a producer. So that's kind of sad.
Yeah, rest in peace.
He was, I think he was young. I think he was in his 50s. He died of bone cancer.
Hey, the fact that he wrote Thor 2 while having bone cancer, I respect that.
Yeah, like he must have known about it because that movie's barely in pre-production right now, so it must have been recently, so.
No, it's in production now.
I know, but like it's
Oh,
barely even
yeah.
being made right now, so he must have been writing it while he was still kind of fucked up, so.
What's his name from Girls is going to be in Thor 2?
I don't know.
What's it, from the IT, that show,
Oh,
the
Chris
British guy?
O'Dowd?
Yeah.
No, is he?
He said on Twitter he's filming a date scene with Natalie Portman.
Why wouldn't you have told me that?
I just told you now.
You should have told me before.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, it's too late for that. I love Chris O'Dowd. He's gonna blow up soon. So moving on. The other day we saw Joss Whedon got a preview, I guess, of Iron Man 3, and his words pretty much were, "How the fuck am I gonna top that?" So that's pretty
I
positive.
don't think anyone's gonna die in it, but I think it will change the mythology, maybe.
Well, I think his actual words were like, "What am I gonna do after that?" And initially, I took that as, "What am I gonna do after that?" Like, is Tony Stark dead? Like,
Is he mad? Is he like mad about it?
yeah, like, is he mad? Like, what the fuck am I gonna do now? You just killed my main character, which is something we kind of I kind of supported because we heard Joss Whedon was gonna kill a character, and I always said Tony Stark would be perfect because he already had three movies. How much more can you do with them? And it would be a huge, big death, you know? And he does like killing his main characters, Joss
The
Whedon.
ending I want to see with Thor 3 is major fight up in the air and him
Wait, Thor
falling.
2, Thor 2.
Wow,
Or
Thor,
Iron
I'm
Man
sorry,
3.
Iron Man, Iron
Oh,
Man 3,
okay, yeah.
Iron Man 3, I apologize everyone. Iron Man in the sky, it's like fighting, he falls into the ocean and that's how it ends.
And you never know what happens to him?
Well, you'll find out in Avengers 2, but
Right.
something like that where it just to be continued.
Right. Well, what I want to say, you kind of mentioned it at the end of Thor 2, would be a Doctor Strange cameo. That would be hella sweet, you know, kind of connecting it, and that would be Marvel Phase 3 or whatever of the movies, that is. And he could definitely fit into the Avengers too, so.
I'm wondering, because everyone signed for like six cameos, so I wonder if Mark Ruffalo will show up, because they had the Hulkbuster.
Right. Yeah, so he might make an appearance.
And you never know, they might do it where like someone's in, like a newscast, and like Tony Stark is like watching the news, and like Captain America, Hawkeye, or someone,
Right.
they're just on the TV. But it better be something good after the scene. I want something extra awesome.
We've come to expect some good after the credit scenes, especially with Thanos in Avengers and Tony Stark in the Hulk and Nick Fury in everything. He was signed on for 9 movies, I think. 9, which is absurd.
You know, it'd be kind of cool if we get to see in the final scene Iron Man try out his Hulkbuster on the Hulk.
But like, then they have to connect why they're fighting.
No, like he's like Mark, because they're like science buddies at the end,
Oh,
you
you
know?
mean oh, so you mean like you know, testing it.
Yeah, testing it.
Right. That
I'd
would be
love to see
good.
that.
I'd rather see Hulk as a villain. That would be cool. I always wanted that.
That's what they did with the ultimate line, like the actual ultimate line with Mark Millar.
I know.
But then I would love to see, ooh, I'd love to see Hank or Janet maybe.
Well, he's not even cast yet, so I don't know how they do him.
Well, like a little cameo.
Well, if they cast him by then, that would be beautiful. You know, I completely support that. And I don't want to see Janet ever again, so.
You know that Whedon originally wanted Janet to be in Avengers, but they wanted Scarlet.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're like, no, we need Scarlet in this. Oh, because
Well,
what's her name was supposed to be Janet from Desperate Housewives, Married to Tony Parker, formerly Married to Tony Parker.
Oh, Eva Longoria?
Yeah, she was supposed to be Janet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad she didn't make an appearance. Not Eva Longoria, I mean Janet Penn. She's
You're right.
terrible. I hate her.
All
She's just
right.
annoying.
Well, I definitely want more science to be in this third one.
Yeah, that's kind of important to Tony Stark, obviously.
Was there science to the second one?
I don't know, I saw that hammered.
That was only like an adventure.
I saw that once. I don't really remember it. So, do we have anything else to say about Iron Man, or?
No, I don't think so. You know, the trailer looked awesome.
Well, not the one with her falling out of the sky.
That was
The Super Bowl one, that was a waste.
the worst thing,
Yeah.
man.
Could have done a lot more. I expected a lot better of a trailer for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
All right, so next, briefly, let's talk about Godzilla. I've always been a big fan. When I was a kid, I used to watch, you know, Godzilla vs. Mothra and Godzilla vs. King Kong and all those terrible movies. So, you know, the newest one with Matthew Broderick was a complete disappointment.
I'm still waiting for the sequel. The ending.
They did suggest that there would be, and then every single person that's ever seen it hated it. So, you know, maybe we don't do a sequel to that. Matthew Broderick is one of the worst actors that's ever existed. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry at all, actually.
But what about Broadway? You've had some good Broadway hits.
I don't know. The people I know that have seen the producers on Broadway say he wasn't that good, but I don't know. Anyway, the new one's with Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who is Kick-Ass, which is pretty cool. Elizabeth Olsen.
Wait, the actor from Kick-Ass?
Yeah, Kick-Ass.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
The Olsen twins' older sister, younger sister, Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, I think it's the younger sister.
I heard she's actually good. David Strathairn, who I like, who's in The River Wild and L.A. Confidential. And my favorite actor, Bryan Cranston. He can do no wrong. Breaking Bad, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite show. All
right.
You watched 2 episodes, Phil. Shut up.
3. I'm tired.
Oh, I hate you. I don't know. The director is Gareth Edwards, who did Monsters, which is one of the most underrated movies. If you like Cloverfield or Super 8, it's the same kind of movie, where it's like almost found footage style. It's kind of like it's not, but it's like a very indie, but you know, huge monster takeover movie, but done in a much more subtle way. It's much more character piece, and I thought that was a brilliant movie. So when he was announced for Godzilla, like I think like 3 years ago, it's been so long now. I was on board, so I thought at this point that it would have fallen through, but they started filming the other day.
The Godzilla they showed at San Diego Comic Con. They showed like the art,
the image, yeah.
And now he's not gonna be like as big as the Empire State Building.
No, I guess not.
I think he's gonna be as, I don't know, as big as a.
The Chrysler Building.
I don't know.
Is it in New York or is it in Japan? I don't even know.
Maybe Madison Square Garden.
Well, that's only like 2 stories, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think he's supposed to be that big.
I think he's bigger than the garden. And you just said the garden because that's where Godzilla gave birth to the eggs in the last shitty one.
I thought you could think of something like big. I was like, I want to do Empire State Building. That's really big.
Yeah. So I think we can move on to let's do our director of the week first.
All right, let's do some Fincher.
David Fincher probably is the best director in the world.
I kind of love Brad Pitt because of him, and I used to not like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible, and I guess it's because you hadn't seen a Fincher movie. But Pitt's one of my favorite actors, and I guess it's because of Fincher that I love him. I guess we'll start chronologically. We're going to gloss over Alien 3. We're going to call that.
I wish I watched that. I couldn't.
We're going to call that not a real movie for now, and move right on to 7.
Seven might be a masterpiece. Might be one of my favorites of all time.
7 is my 5th favorite movie ever made. I actually have the list, so you can't make fun of me for saying a top 5 favorite movie.
Ryan has top favorite band. Maybe he has like 10 favorite bands like of all time.
I don't do bands.
I
haven't done bands in a long time.
But movies and.
But I actually have my top 5 favorite movies, and that's number 5 or 6.
Do you want
to know the list?
In New York City?
No. All right. So what's important about 7 is that the city is a character, particularly how much Somerset, Morgan Freeman, hates the city and wants to really get out. And what's important is that the city is never named. It's never Chicago or New York or Boston. It's just this terrible place where it always rains, it's always dark, and just terrible things happen. So that's such an important almost character to the movie that – is never described, and I think it's important that it's never shown who it is or what it is. But what I like about 7 is that I love anything literature related, and this is obviously completely steeped in literature, with Canterbury Tales and Dante's Inferno, which we actually discuss in Shepherd, and what are your thoughts on?
I want to talk about Kevin Spacey as John Doe.
Who was in the movie for maybe 11 total minutes or something like that?
Well, when the movie, I think the second day of filming, or maybe 2 days before filming, they picked him up. They signed him to the movie. And his character, you don't know the name. You don't know him as a villain. And Brian has a knife as I'm talking to him.
He's, oh, I don't think you can see me on Skype right now. I'm in Pennsylvania. I have guns and knives and shit.
I think he's going to just kill himself right here. See you later, Brian.
I'm talking about Seven. I just get violent.
But no, the fact that John Doe pretty much, you have a name. He's just pure psychopath. Now, I was just
Well, he didn't exist. That was the important thing, that he didn't have a name. He wasn't on the records anywhere. He cut off his own fingerprints, so, you know, he didn't exist. He wasn't a real person.
I was thinking about this today with that character. You think he was really more focused on getting Somerset, Morgan Freeman's character, hopefully make him snap?
No.
Was he just going acrobatic?
No, he was finishing his Seven Deadly Sins, and Wrath and Envy were the two most important, that, you know, he suffered from envy, and that he knew that Mills was going to have to kill him, and that's what completed his, you know, septuplet, whatever you want to call it. I don't think, you know, Somerset, I think his characterization was basically just, he hated this place, and he hated it all, but he was still going to fight for it, and his last line was the most important part of the movie. Ernest Hemingway once wrote, "The world is a fine place and worth fighting for." I agree with the second part. That, you know, the world is a terrible place, really, but he's still going to, you know, do his best and fight for it.
Two fun facts about the movie quickly that I think Brian told me, or maybe I just looked online, was the company. What was the company again? Something.
Legendary?
No, whatever it was, the heads, the executives of the company, weren't happy with the ending. Too depressing.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to be happy and sequel-worthy.
And Brad Pitt refused to film the scene if they wanted to change it.
Yeah, and Fincher, like, you know, he was furious about it. He said, it's got to be this way. And also that they wanted a sequel where somehow Somerset had psychic powers or some shit.
Oh, really? I thought you just stayed on. Oh,
no. And they're actually filming that movie currently with Anthony Hopkins. It's the script that was supposed to be 7-2 or 8, I don't know. And they're filming it right now with Anthony Hopkins.
Really?
I don't think it has anything to do with 7 technically, but it is that script.
Remind me when we talk about Fight Club and how his producers, again, were upset with Fincher and that's something from Fight Club.
Well, he doesn't do happy endings, really. So.
Well, Fight Club, the scene where Edward Norton's boss gets the list in the printer.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the guy who put it out, he's crazy. You know, you shouldn't be walking around with that.
Certainly true.
It was around the time Columbine happened, and they wanted him to get rid of it. And he goes, no, because it fit. Well, at first he thought about it, but then it fit perfectly with the next scene where Marla's touching her boobs.
Oh.
So they kept it.
They kind of connected. I have something to say about Fincher's, like, development, especially from Fight Club to his last couple movies, but we'll get to that when we get on later. Do you want to talk about the game?
Yeah. I told you what I thought about the game, that it was like a Christmas Carol, kind
of. Yeah, I mean.
Kind of how shitty he was as a person.
Yeah.
And he had to, like, wake up, kind of.
Yeah, that he was the Scrooge character, and he needed to, like, see the transgressions of his life to kind of, like... And he says that at the end. He's like, Sean Penn says, like, you're becoming such an asshole, we have to do something about it, I think.
Yeah. That's, oh, my God.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. That's a good point. But I thought it was just a bit too much that, like, people would spend billions of dollars, or, you know, however much it cost Sean Penn to basically wake him up. I don't know. It was a bit much.
Intervention.
I guess so. It was a cool movie. It was almost like Twilight Zone-y in that, you know, the ending was like, it's completely ridiculous, like, if the world is not the way you see it, and which is good, but, you know, Fincher definitely showed his progression in directing later, even though I think his strongest one was Seven, second movie.
What was the years of difference between Alien 3... And then
Alien 3, I think, was, I'm thinking 93, 7 was 95, 96, and then I think the game was 97.
I don't know if you'll remember this, but if you look at the coloring of the game at 7, the game looks older. like the coloring of the
Well, I
film.
think that was part of the character of the movie, that it was kind of like this terrible, decrepit, rainy place, you know?
Well, I just thought that Seven looked a little older. That's all I'm saying. Not older, sorry. That the game looked like it was filmed years before, like in
Oh,
the early
really?
90s,
Oh, I
late
see.
80s.
Well, I think that Seven was just a much stronger movie anyway, so maybe the game just didn't come off as like as strong, and that was one of the things affected by it, maybe. Is that your
So,
stacks of comics behind you? Jesus Christ.
yeah, dude, that's what, yeah.
Oh, those are too many boxes.
And there's like 12 more in storage.
Ugh. Wow.
Well, hey, when I die, people are going to be fighting over that box.
Shotgun those boxes.
Oh,
Yeah.
sorry,
Sorry, world. Brian called it. So let's go on to Fight Club, which. You want to talk about your theory?
okay,
You can stretch
so.
it as long as you want. I'll be right back.
Okay, so here's my theory. Ready? At the end of it, you have Edward Norton's character, who's actually never named, he's just the narrator, fighting himself, but he's fighting his psychopath other self, Tyler Durden. Yes. Oh, Brian was there. Heard me. Anyways, so at the end of the scene, Tyler has the gun, and Edward Norton goes, "Oh shit, you're me, but I have the gun." Shoots himself. And then Edward Norton, before that, was just freaking out, and suddenly kills himself. And he's calm. Now everyone says he's calm, because I discussed this. People say he's calm because he had, for the first time since he met Tyler, he was in control of himself. So of course he's calm. But the way his attitude was, just something a little odd that I thought, oh, what if Edward Norton, he's at his weakest point, by shooting himself, killed Edward Norton's personality, and Tyler took over. When the buildings fell, it's Edward Norton looking out, going, "Yes, I did my job." So Tyler survives, in my opinion. Now I looked online. One person asked about saying if Tyler survived, and they said when they read the book, it looked like Tyler did survive. Also, at the end of the movie, there's a projection of a dick. Tyler. Oops. I thought, okay, maybe it's a sign that Tyler survived. Brian said it was just kind of like an inside joke because I was slowing up Tyler's
I don't think
jobs
that was
in the movie.
necessarily. I don't know if you can hear me. Now you can. I don't think that was really a hint at that. I think it was just kind of like a little inside joke. That's what Tyler used to do in the movies, you know?
I don't know, just the way that, like, when he was, when, especially when what's her name showed up, he kind of just takes her and they look as the building's falling. I just thought that maybe that was Tyler looking, saying, "I have achieved it."
I think it was just the narrator kind of finally being his own person. He's kind of like
Yeah.
separating
Well,
himself. And
that's what I said in the beginning. That's what people were telling me. Because I contacted TJ about it to ask his opinion.
Yeah.
But you know me, I like to
I
look for
think you're
things.
reaching a little, but
Oh, I reach a lot. Yeah.
there's definitely something to be discussed there. Yeah. If I'd seen the movie more recently, I'd feel a lot more comfortable arguing this.
Another movie that I reached with Fincher was, to go back for a second, was The Game.
Yeah.
And they talk about his dad dying, falling
Yeah.
from the
Oh yeah,
building.
you really reached for that one.
I thought, okay, when Michael Douglas fell, I was like, oh my God, the same thing happened to
His
his dad.
dad, yeah.
And his dad participated in his own game.
You thought that the
Yeah.
dad. Well, it was a reach, it was a cool idea. But you also, when you watched Pulp Fiction, thought that there should have been more for the Gimp.
No,
You
okay,
wanted a
my thing was,
backstory for the Gimp. Do not get into this, Philip. God damn it. There's no explanation. You wanted more about the Gimp, right?
I would love a fanfic story about the
That's
Gimp.
not what you said. What you said
That's
was, I wish they got more into the Gimp. And
well,
you make
when he
mistakes.
came out, I was like, oh my God, this movie's going supernatural.
What'd I just say? No. Moving on. Did you
Okay.
see Panic Room?
Yeah, I don't like
Jodie Foster?
Kristen Stewart. I don't like.
Oh. See, this is the first movie I ever saw with Kristen Stewart. I saw it in theaters twice.
Jodie Foster, I don't like sometimes.
Kristen Stewart was fine. I wasn't sure if she was a boy or a girl on this. But, I fucking love Panic Room for some reason. It's probably his weakest movie, I guess. But,
Wait, weaker than Alien 3? Which one weaker?
well, Alien 3 is a class of its own. He didn't. It was his first movie, so he didn't have a lot of say in the movie and stuff, so he kind of got strong-armed. But Paddock Room is probably his weakest movie, and I really like it. It was a good, compelling thriller, you know? And you like the villain, even. Forrest Whitaker was good. You like Burnham. And Jared Leto's death was kind of like, what the fuck, when Raul shoots him? Raul was a fucking psychopath wild card. It was a good thriller. I liked it.
I don't say that because, to be honest, I didn't like it, and I'm not a fan of...
Well, tell them why you don't like the Jodie Foster me connection.
Actually, Brian, I've been dying, but you're on vacation. I was like, all right, when he gets back, I'll do it. I've been dying to be like on your Facebook, be like, dude, who directed Flight Plan? Let's do a whole director segment on that.
On
director.
Him? 7 years ago, I guess 2004, actually, so it was 9 years ago. Jesus
Christ. Oh, my God.
I saw the preview for Flight Plan. I was on a really big Sean Bean kick. I love Sean Bean. And I was like, we gotta fucking see this movie. And Flight Plan was one of the most shockingly bad films we've ever seen. It was just terrible. So Phil didn't like Panic Room, I think, because of Flight Plan, which isn't fair. His Panic Room came out first. That's not fair.
Sean Bean survived that movie.
Like, I know. It's one of the four movies he lived in.
And he lived in National Treasure, one of my favorites.
No, he died in that, didn't he?
Nope, he got arrested.
Didn't, like, he collapse or some shit in, like, that weird under tomb thing?
Sean Bean survived, okay? Don't take that away from him.
All right. Fine. All right, so move on to the next movie. I don't have much to say about Zodiac. I haven't seen it so long.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo is perfect.
And Downey, too.
You like the, just kind of like the history, you know, telling the story.
Yeah.
His whole, I kind of love that it ruined his family, and it ruined him, kind of.
Yeah, it kind of, like, took over his life. Right.
That's the perfect thing.
And he never found out who really did it. I mean, there are obviously theories, but...
Every year they took a new story. Oh, this guy did it. And this
like,
guy.
Like 3 years ago, there was, like, huge news about the Zodiac Killer, but, you know, they don't have any official answers, and they probably never will, because the guy that they think really what did do it is dead now, so...
It had something to do with the handwriting, right? And the guy was, like, a mess... pretty much was able to change his handwriting, so whatever.
Right.
When can we talk about Benjamin Button? Because I love that movie.
Let's talk right now.
Okay.
See, my initial reaction to Benjamin Button is that it was a little slower version of Forrest Gump. It was basically one man throughout history. What?
I was so mad with you because I was talking about it. You said it was Forrest Gump. And that's the next thing I was going to tell you. Dude, isn't this Forrest? I was ready to like say it on the podcast. I was like, so,
oh, you mean like when you...
Benjamin Button, see Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
When you said it, I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was good. It was just it was a long movie. It was a lot.
It was dry. I like to say dry. Would dry be the right word? There was really no comedy, except for the guy who gets struck by lightning 7 times.
Yeah. No, there was no comedy to it. It was certainly... It was... I guess you can describe it as dry, which doesn't sound good here, you know? It doesn't sound like a positive aspect of the movie.
I like the whole story of him, you know, his birth, his midlife. Yeah, he had like a midlife crisis kind of when he had to leave.
That was kind of like the normal time for it though, because it was the middle of his life, whether it began then or began as it begins for most people.
What was your favorite part from the movie?
I don't know. I like how he was kind of like born. Like it was because the clock tower froze at that time.
That was
cool. I like that. And the story is actually written by F. Scott Fitzgerald, I believe.
Oh shit! I didn't know the story.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh yeah. It's a short story that he did, which was adapted by David Fincher, which is weird. Like you hear this about David Fincher, like this weird like casting choices. Not casting, but like choices he makes. Like, his next movie is supposed to be 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which is fucking kind of a cool idea, because it's just, like, a standard story. It would be cool to see, like, obviously he'd do a dark version of it, you know?
Would it be modernized?
I don't know how he'd do it. But, like, I heard he was one of the finalists for Star Wars, and I was like, fuck, yes. Imagine him doing Star Wars.
Yeah,
like how dark that would be, how serious and tragic. That would be
I would
beautiful.
want him to see him do a prequel, episode zero.
Maybe he could do like one of the one shots. Yeah,
Yeah.
that would be cool.
And have the cast of the Sith as like the heroes kind of maybe understand their point of view.
Right, it could be through the point of view of the bad guys. That'd be cool.
Like,
As
that
long as
would be
Brad Pitt's
sick.
not in it, because I don't want to see anyone that big in these movies at all. Like The Rock being, he wants to be in it. And I love him. I think he's a cool guy and stuff, but I don't want to see someone that famous being in these movies. And that's something that the prequel trilogy did do well, at least, that they kind of tried to do unknowns except for Ewan McGregor. And Natalie Portman wasn't anything big at that point.
Oh,
Hayden
what about
Christensen
what's his
was.
name? Oh my
Give me
God,
the character.
Ra's al Ghul.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah,
Yeah, I guess.
we're at the beginning of his
No,
acting
he had already been
career.
nominated for an Oscar for Schindler's List, so he was already big. But, most of the cast, who was big in that movie? Jimmy Smits, I guess, and he was such a minor character.
Oh, Jim Smith.
I like him.
Oh,
Natalie Portman wasn't big
Samuel
yet.
Jackson.
Yeah, he was definitely big.
Was he in the first one, or just second and third?
He was in one, two, and three.
Goes along through that.
Yeah, and he wants to be in the sequel trilogy, which
He died.
he's very dead, and he was dead 30 years ago now at this point, or 50 years ago, depending.
Did you see on BuzzFeed like the top 25 things about Yoda? They had, I guess, 25 things about Yoda. No one knows his species,
Yep.
or do they know? They know what his plan is, right? They still know
No,
his
no.
species.
They don't know his planet of origin. He lives on Dagobah now. Yeah, but no one knows his planet of origin, his species, and I don't think they ever will get into that, nor should they. It's too late now to like start anything that they said would be kind of unsatisfying, I guess. Kind of forced. All right, so back to Fincher. Social Network.
When you see like certain movies, like especially with I guess in all the other movies, they have like a nice theme, something maybe you learn. Social Network. Oh, this guy's a genius. He becomes a millionaire. He's really lonely. And I don't know. I'm going in. Everyone just hyped it up for me. And I was like, that was all right.
Yeah, I think you're like kind of focusing on Zuckerberg too much, and not focusing on like the subtleties of the characters
Andrew Garfield was the best thing about that movie.
I don't know. I think Jesse Eisenberg was excellent, not as Mark Zuckerberg, because that's not how Mark Zuckerberg is at all in real life. They made him this like really cool douchebaggy badass, and he is not like that in real life at all. So they
Did you
kind of
see him
like,
on SNL again?
yeah, but
So awkward.
another like weird kind of choice. When I saw the first preview for Social Network, I was like, why the fuck is David Fincher doing the Facebook movie? Like, I can't see Christopher Nolan doing MySpace, Like, I don't like that either. So like, why is he doing this? And I watched it, and it was perfectly his tone. It was perfectly dark, even though it was about Facebook. It was perfectly dark and.
Not a lot of color, you're right.
Well, I don't mean literally, but yeah, certainly literally, it is like a dark movie. I loved it. I've seen it a lot of times since in theaters. I mean, it might be because it's Fincher.
Compared to the other movies, because you had the writer for Social Network was what's his name from West Wing and Sports Night, I can't think of his
Aaron
name.
Sorkin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to the other movies, was this combination the strongest one, maybe? With writing and
You
directing?
mean for, well,
For Fincher movies.
no, I think Seven was the strongest script anyway. And Fight Club was a good script, obviously. Game was a weaker script. Social Network was a really good script, though. Yeah. I think he might have won the Oscar for that, Sorkin. And he might have, yeah. If he didn't, he was definitely one of the two that it was down to.
Yeah, that was the year that they did the
Maybe it
Ten
was
movies, right?
Moneyball, maybe.
I don't even know. But that was that the year that was the 10 movies? Is that the first year?
Was it the first year? That was
That mean, yeah.
the first year was after The Dark Knight. That it was 10
Oh,
movies. It was
okay.
Inception year. It was Inception year. Yeah.
Is Dungeon here?
Yeah, Inception, the other Nolan. And Inception was the strongest movie that year anyway. But that's a different story for a different day.
But my a few things about Facebook that were kind of cool. I don't know. I liked the whole point
about
that,
Facebook or about Social Network.
Yeah, Social Network. No, it's just a quick one thing that I want to say about it, because you know I didn't like it, and it's definitely longer than in my opinion than Brian has a gun and he's gonna shoot the laptop at me.
I just wanted to scare you again. Sorry.
Sorry guys, Brian usually doesn't do weapons. I don't know what's going on.
Pennsylvania man, I got all sorts of shit up here.
Yeah, that's what the serial killers say.
I don't think that's what any serial killer said. Anyway, continue your Facebook theories.
No, I didn't. That's not a theory. That Zuckerberg's character was just so... Even the ending was depressing.
I think that's okay. How many times does Fincher do a happy ending, Phil?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But no, it was just like a creepy... creepier than any of the other really endings.
No. Creepier than Seven's ending?
Sorry, maybe I'll say this. Realistic creepy ending.
Yeah, I guess. Not creepy, though. It was just like, kind of like...
It was just dark and lonely.
Sad, yeah.
It was depressing, like cutting. Not like I'm going to cut myself, but like people...
Well, like, the whole thing was like that he invented Facebook to get back at a girl, essentially, and that's obviously not... I mean, that might be true, but that's not the real story behind Facebook. I mean, that's not why he did it.
What's the next? Dragon Tattoo.
And that's the last movie we're gonna do for Fincher.
Yeah.
What did you think about it? We saw that in theaters together.
I loved it. I walked out very happy. It was another long movie, but I was happy.
The first half hour and the last half hour just went on for too long, but it wasn't a perfect movie, but it was close. It was a really strong movie.
At one point, I'm trying to solve I was trying to solve, like, okay, who kidnapped this girl?
Yeah.
Who murdered her? And then we at one point thought it was the brother. I can't remember who played the brother, the creepy sexual psychopath.
What, you mean Stellan Skarsgård, the guy that actually was?
No, because he went missing. There was a killer.
Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, but he didn't kill his sister. She just ran away.
No, he killed her, didn't he?
No, remember?
No,
She pretended to be herself. Or the cousin.
Oh, you mean, she ran away.
Yeah, she ran away.
Yeah.
He didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill, like, a relative.
Yeah, he did.
The sister that she was, the cousin that she was pretending to be, died in a car crash in the movie.
So nobody killed...
Nobody.
So he just happened to be a serial killer?
He happened to go to, like, certain towns and, like, kill, like, you know, like hookers and stuff, but the whole thing was who killed my niece. Niece was never dead. I actually had a niece who was dead, but she died in a car accident. And he was getting his flowers every year. He was getting it from the niece that he was looking for.
Huh.
And he thought that the person sending the flowers was the killer.
Right.
So he thought it was someone on the compound.
That's right.
And we thought it was his nephew, I believe.
Okay.
And the reason that she left was because she figured out that he was like a killer. He was kind of psycho, and she's like, I need to get out of here. Her brother, and the brother was like freaking out. He's like, you found her. You found her.
That's right. Well, he was still fucked up.
I saw that like 2 years ago. I'm really impressed that I just.
You haven't seen that since?
No.
Good for you. I haven't seen the ending since. I saw, like, the rape scene, like, randomly a bunch of times. It's so fucked up.
Yeah. Well, that was long. That didn't need to be that long.
Well, it was important. Rooney Mara was fantastic. She was wonderful. And, like, I'm sorry, she deserved Best Actress that year, like, bar none. Meryl Streep won. I'm sorry.
No, she always wins.
No, she doesn't. She's only won twice or three times ever.
She gets nominated?
16 times. 17, 16 times? I think. 17 now. But she hadn't won since 1982 before that. She deserves to win. She's always fantastic. But Rooney Mara was truly spectacular. She should have won. She had to do a lot more than Meryl Streep had to do as Margaret Thatcher.
Ooh, that's even too good feeling.
I heard the movie wasn't that good, just Meryl Streep was.
Someone good directed that too, I believe.
Really? I don't know. I don't know who directed it. But let's go on to Fincher's last thing, currently, House of Cards.
Oh, I was like, shit.
What, is there something else? Yeah. People forget about that. But he directed the first two episodes and executive produced the whole series. House of Cards is fantastic.
That actually, I like the whole breaking the fourth wall. That was awesome.
Yeah, every time Kevin Spacey looks to you, it's always like kind of funny too. Like, Spacey's always good, you know. I don't like him, but he's always.
You don't like Kevin Spacey?
Not really. I heard he's a douchebag in real life. So.
I heard something about a play. Something happened about a play.
I hope he's not one of our Twitter followers. I heard that he has sex with a lot of the male interns on movies and then fires them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is what you told me.
Yeah, I heard he's kind of a shitty guy, so. But he's always really good, and this is no exception. He's spectacular in this.
Now, he was director and also executive producer. Mm-hmm. Not Kevin Spacey, yeah, Fincher.
Well, Spacey, too, actually. He's an executive producer. But yeah, Fincher.
Did they just talk about the direction? They just had to agree on the direction of the, is that what executive producer really does?
Nobody knows what the producer does.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah. I always thought it was just the people who back the movie, who have the money, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what they really do. But yeah, he has some kind of consulting role throughout the whole thing.
Talking about breaking the fourth wall, and I wish I mentioned this earlier with Fight Club. Now, you saw Fight Club. Like, did you see it when it came out theater or no?
I saw it when it came out on DVD. My brother had me watch it in, like, 1998 or whatever.
Was the breaking of the fourth wall, was that, like, something that's never happened in movies in a long time? Was it groundbreaking at that point in cinema?
I don't know if that's fair to say.
It's a question, not a statement.
I don't know. I mean, I wish you had asked me before. I could have prepared for this more. I don't know.
It just came to me now because I realized the House of Cards.
Because yeah, I guess it's something Fincher kind of likes.
There's a lot of people that didn't like House of Cards. I noticed in some of the reviews, they didn't like the fourth wall being broke.
That's my favorite part of the whole thing. Yeah.
I like how he just kind of sat down to us and said, this is my thoughts.
Well, it's kind of like, it kind of like breaks it down for idiots, too. It's kind of like, this is what I'm doing right now. It all hedges on this, you know, I'm trying to, you know, he kind of like tells you exactly what he's doing, which is good because that show is fucking confusing. Like,
yeah.
if you're not paying attention, you can get lost like that.
When I realized that him and Robin Wright had, like, an open marriage, kind of, like, to get things
done.
Yeah, that
was fucked up.
Yeah. And then yeah. Mara's, she just got crazy, like, attached.
Well, but she got instantly disattached real easily, too. And she was, like, she hated him, like, out of nowhere, too. Well, it was almost realistic, though, you know? Like, I could see that happening.
I felt bad, though, with Peter Russo. I was rooting for him.
Ugh. And I don't know if you've ever seen Midnight. Did you see Midnight in Paris?
No. See, in that?
He's fucking Ernest Hemingway.
Yes.
And no, I don't think I did because this blew my mind. I looked it up the other day. And he's completely different character. He looks completely different. And when I finished House of Cards, I was like, what is Peter Russo from? Because he made the show besides Spacey. I thought he was the most interesting character. He's the only character you wanted to be good because everyone was terrible, including Peter Russo. He was just an awful person, but you kind of like saw things his way and you wanted him to be good, but he never was. And so like I looked him up and I was like, holy fucking shit, he's Ernest Hemingway. And in Midnight in Paris, he's just like badass, always ready to fight. Like he was just such like a crazy different character.
When Kevin Spacey killed Peter Russo, my heart literally just dropped. I was like, no. First of all, Peter Russo was dying. And then I was like, oh, man, Kevin Spacey's an asshole.
Yeah, it was like Kevin Spacey finally crossed a line to, like, you know, just manipulating people to physically murdering people.
And his second-in-command, his chief of staff?
He's good. I like him. He's from Dawn of the Dead. I don't know if people like that. 2004 version. He was awesome in that. He was CJ.
Is that what's his freaking name?
Ving Rhames?
Yeah. In the mall.
Yep.
And what else from, anything else from House of Cards? There's something that I wanted to discuss about House of Cards.
I don't know.
Robin Wright totally looks different. She got a job. And she looks good with short hair.
I don't know. I think she's been doing a good job with, like, these small roles. She was such a small role, girl with dragon tattoo. Exactly, it just blew your mind, didn't it? Well, because I haven't seen her since like Forrest Gump. I feel like I don't know. I mean, that can't be true, but there was such a huge jump. And then she did Girl with Dragon Tattoo and Moneyball in the same year, both small roles.
Never seen Moneyball?
Moneyball is another one of my favorite movies.
HBO
Yes, it should be on
Go.
there.
Watch
I
on
watched
HBO
that. I've seen that movie, I think, 13 times, legitimately.
Go. Ryan likes to count if anyone doesn't know.
Yeah, I think I've watched this. And then she's in this as like a prominent role, and she's wonderful. Like, she's just as good as Kevin Spacey. Like, you forget that they're acting in these things. Like, they're just genuinely good, like completely believable.
It's fun that I start out watching the show rooting for characters, especially Robin Wright's character
And Peter Russo.
and Peter Russo. But when Robin Wright, you know, fired her friends,
Oh, she was such a cunt.
I was like,
Pardon my French.
oh,
I was like, no, that was like the second episode, and I saw that. I was like, oh, she's just as bad as Spacey. Fuck this
but
bitch.
then when she fired the pregnant chick,
Yeah.
I
Well,
was
that was
oh my
kind of,
God.
yeah, that was kind of
Well, that was
like,
her downfall, kind of.
well, that's
That
what,
point.
and that might be Spacey's downfall too now. Yeah. All right, so that's enough Fincher. I think that was a pretty thorough run through.
That was our best pie run through yet.
I like the Nolan one because we had theories, but this one was good too. Who are we gonna talk about next week? Any idea? I gotta give you a list of of movies you gotta watch tomorrow then.
Let's see.
Hitchcock or Hitchcock? It would be too much.
Yeah,
You gotta watch
well,
15 of those.
could I find it easily, you think?
You gotta watch 15 of them though. It's too much.
Well, that's okay. I don't have time for that.
No, ain't nobody got no time for that. All right. Well, we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll announce it.
I'm trying to think of any like good ones. Oh my God, what's the name? From Happy Days. Ron Howard?
I don't know. He has some misses though. There's a couple of good ones, but we'll talk about it. Let's get into our final segment, the must-buy comics of next week.
Very excited about this.
Well, I'm much less excited.
Well, you're the movie guy on the comic book guy.
I guess so. That's true. But there's only, I think, maybe five that I really want to talk about. Let's start semi-alphabetically. Go Animal Man.
Okay. Poor Buddy Baker, his son's dead, Cliff.
Yep.
And in issue 19, Buddy Baker not only buries his son, but he's nominated for an Oscar. So what Jeff Lemire wants to do is capture the American culture with, you know, our obsession with
Idolatry
souls.
almost. Idolatry almost.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we want to capture the celebrities,
The celebrity.
and what I'm hoping happens is that he, as he's mourning his son, he uses the become being a celebrity as a way of an outlet.
Right.
So I definitely want to see his wife leave him. I want to see some alcohol. I want to see some drugs. I kind of want to see a little downfall.
Yeah, his wife leaving was a long time coming now, 'cause like she's kind of,
He's complained about it for a while.
yeah, she's put up with enough.
And then you got his mother-in-law, who doesn't help either.
Right.
So I definitely want to see some alcohol, drugs, maybe hookers, maybe some hookers.
Well, I like Lemire. I like what he does, so I'm excited to see where he goes with it. So from there, let's go to Bedlam. We can talk about a little bit.
Have you caught up?
No, I
No.
have not.
It's definitely my only problem with Bedlam at first was the main character. Was he
Right.
admitting to the police that he was the former crazy guy? I had to go back and read them all.
In one, I didn't think he was, but I don't know. I don't know. It was a confusing one. It was a good script, and it was really well. The art, he's so good.
Awesome. It is incredible.
Ross Moe is amazing. I love him. Green Wake, I think we'll bring it up in every single podcast. That's one of my favorite.
What I bought today, I read today, issue two of
Dia de los Muertos.
and his art, by the way, if you look at it, I had to go back and realize that he did all the art.
Yeah.
It changes with each
Yeah.
story.
Well, you didn't read the
And
first one. The first one, the third story was so strong. It was so good.
that's one by Dirk Manning.
That was Dirk Manning's. Yeah,
Yeah,
that was
I haven't read
really
that
good.
one. I read issue two. You don't have to. You don't. You can.
No, they're short
They're short
stories.
stories.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not
Okay.
necessary to do it like that.
But Bedlam, I'm gonna reread all of them because I was a little confused, but it is getting better.
Right.
Every issue, and I like that when I want more.
Yeah.
Every issue.
Yeah.
Like last week with Constantine number one, I probably won't buy number two. That was a one shot, and I was very disappointed.
I liked it just because I like the character. I like the writer, also Jeff Lemire. So I'm definitely going to keep going with it, see where it goes. Hellblazer is one of my favorite characters, so I'm interested.
Oh, you watched the movie.
Oh, you watched Constantine? What'd you think?
I fell asleep. It was so, this is boring.
I think people hate that movie for the wrong reasons.
Well,
I think,
because of that, I went in knowing that.
Well, you fell asleep. That's not fair. I
oh,
mean, if you fall asleep
it.
Because it's not good, yeah, that's one thing. But I think that's people didn't like that movie because, you know, he wasn't appropriate for the character, Keanu Reeves, that's for sure.
Yep.
He wasn't John Constantine.
Nope.
And that's fine. But the movie itself, that was a cool story, and the character was fine in his own right. He wasn't the same John Constantine, but he was a version of him, and I think that was a really – it's an underrated movie.
Jesus, if that came out today, people would be rioting.
I don't know about all that, but I think people were upset enough when it came out. So, let's go to Green Arrow.
All right.
Is this another Lemire?
Yes, Lemire.
What the fuck? We just talked three Lemire shit. He's doing too much.
He's on fire. Green Arrow is finally being saved. He is, and it's the perfect timing because you do have the Jeff Johns. Just Regan. I think Green Arrow is going to be one of the main characters for that.
Right. Well, I jumped on at the right time. I jumped on for Lemire, and his issues they've been good.
Oh shit! In the second one, his sidekick got killed. Shot
yeah.
Babe.
Yeah.
That was cool. But the best thing about it is that a lot of Lost references since he's buddies with David.
Right.
That time warp thing that I sent you.
Yeah.
He co-wrote that.
Lemire wrote
story,
that.
Short story with David. They co-wrote together.
Ooh. Oh, that's not an ongoing?
No, I don't think so. DC comic.
Vertigo,
War.
I think.
Hmm?
I think it's Vertigo.
Is it Vertigo?
I think so. I didn't know they were releasing new titles, but...
Yep.
It's very cool.
The Green Arrow is getting better, and the whole thing is, he has to go back to the island. He was never supposed to leave.
Right. Huh. And, sounds like Lost to me.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the Outsiders, which Batman, back in pre-52... That was kind of an outcast of heroes that Batman was leading.
Right.
So I'm very excited to see how they're going to tie this new Outsiders in. And no one's talked about that, actually. None
yeah.
of the websites have picked it up that there's a brand new Outsiders group.
Hmm. Well, I think it was, I'm not watching Arrow, the show, either, so,
Not me either.
You stopped? I think, they picked up on this at the right time.
It's doing really well.
Yeah.
Got picked up for second season.
Yeah.
I stopped because of my virus.
Oh, that's right. But I want to see Green Arrow in the Justice League movie if they do that, and I want it to be Charlie Hunnam, Jax from Sons of Anarchy. I think he'd be perfect.
The Max movie?
Oh, I don't want to talk about that. That's too perfect.
Kevin Smith was
right? Was it Kevin Smith?
Directing or writing it?
I don't know. It was one of those blacklist, those scripts, but never got made. One of those, big scripts that everyone wanted to get made, but nobody...
The Batman Nolan movies ruined it because they're like, then they talked about Superman afterwards, so
kind of then they rebooted that, so it changed the game. I mean,
yep.
The script's out there. Get it done. Why not?
Totally.
Be a cool way to introduce Green Arrow. I mean, he's not Batman Superman style, but he's big
he's
and
gritty.
He deserves.
He's gritty.
Yeah.
He'll kill if he has to.
Yeah, he deserves to have a bigger story.
He's the hero we need.
But not the one that... Whatever. So, the next one we're going to talk about, Mind the Gap, number 8, comes out next week.
I was talking to this at Blue Planet today. I totally just stopped. I think I stopped at, issue 6. I was like, I just don't care anymore.
See,
cool concept that she's like a ghost.
Yeah,
she's getting her memories.
This story, I equate to Morning Glories, and I think it's fair. Because with Morning Glories... I kind of stopped reading them week to week, and I'm buying them, and then I just I want to read them like nine at a time. Because with Morning Glories and Mind the Gap, it's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on, that I need to reread everything, and I don't have time to reread the previous six issues every single month, and then the previous seven issues, and the previous eight issues.
Yep.
So it's like, I like the story, and the writing's great, and the art's beautiful, but it's not something I can read month to month. And especially if they're coming out infrequently, like Lock and Key. Like Lock and Key,
I think it's coming out more. I just got bored. I was like,
what, with Lock and Key?
No. Oh. Mind the Gap.
Lock and Key is the strongest comic out right now.
I thought that was coming out, we talked about last week.
I don't think it is. Lock and Key is, it's a story that, you know, it comes out too infrequently. It comes out, like, every 2 months. But I don't mind, because I remember. Like, it's a story I genuinely care about. Morning Glories and Mind the Gap, it's not as strong of a story. And I like them. I like them a lot. But I mean, Lock and Key to me is—it's another class. So.
Well, one of the problems with Morning Glories now is just too many characters. They brought in a new class.
Yeah, the new class. Yeah. I think I stopped like Flourish is going. I'm just like, I want to wait for a big chunk of shit.
Tales season finale.
Yeah, but I've heard that from you the last four months.
Seriously, they had like a little chat online. I got invited by Joe Eisma.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I went to it. It was nice.
That does sound nice.
Alright, what's up?
The last one I think we want to talk about was Thanos Rising.
Yeah. Now, this was supposed to happen last year.
Like Avengers? Like after the Avengers? Like after that excitement?
Yeah, and they ended up not doing it. They decided to wait another year. I believe Jason Aaron was supposed to write it. I don't know who's writing it now. But I know it's... I don't think it's an origin story. I think he's been missing, whatever.
Yeah, it's Thanos Rising, not... I mean, I kind of see it as, like, re-risen almost, like he's coming back, not like we're seeing him for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's I'm going to definitely buy it. Did it say who the writer is? Do you have that up or no?
I do not.
Me, quickly, I don't have time for that.
Ain't nobody got no time for that.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it. Actually, I don't think there's anything coming out this week.
What, anything else besides that?
No, not that I...
You have anything else?
No, not that I'm... Original X-Men, they're getting new costumes. That's kind of cool.
That's interesting.
I want to see if they make it stupid. That's about it.
Very fun.
All right.
Well, for once, we don't have to rush the ending.
Well, how much time we got left?
3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. But we're not gonna just sit here and talk for 2 minutes, are we?
No.
We can end it early.
Brian,
fine.
It was great seeing you.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Hit me up. Did you do anything with 617?
Well, I'm still writing 617 this week. I plan on finishing it this week with Phil's edits and stuff. And then we'll scoot that over to Joe from IGN. Yeah.
Yeah, I got an email. That reminds me. We have a retrospective interview with
Ed Brisson and Michael Walsh for Comeback, which is an awesome comic.
Yeah.
So we'll get that up on our blog soon enough.
All right.
So look forward to that.
All right, everyone.
All right, everybody. I hope this works. I hope we can post this.
Fingers crossed.
All right. All right, Phil. This has been fun.
Bye, Ron.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.